He might have suggested something like that. But then Jesus has this grand interruption. Get up, take up your mat and walk. And it says in verse 9, at once the man was cured. Now think about this. If you've ever been in the hospital and laid up for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, how easy is it to get up and walk? It's not. Your legs begin to atrophy really quickly. And you have to be helped or have a walker to rebuild the strength in your legs. Well, this man's been lying there for 38 years. How do you think he knew he was cured? He had muscle in his leg. All of a sudden, he had legs he'd never had before that he could get up. Think about it. Someone's lying still for 38 years. They had atrophy. I doubt there's a lot of muscle anywhere in their body. It's not been used. You ever started a workout program? I'm going to do push-ups. And you get out there and you do about 20 and you think, boy, I'm so fit. And the next morning, your arms don't move. Because your muscles are going, thanks a lot. And you're like, every now I'm going to get a cup of water. You're in pain. But if you keep doing that, what's amazing, as I've read, in 3 weeks, you are in much, much better shape than you were 3 weeks prior. That's what happens with muscles. And the opposite happens as well. You stop doing it, they atrophy. It's like a use it or lose it kind of an idea. So here's this man. How does he know he's cured? He had strength in his legs to do something he hadn't done for 38 years. He gets up. He does exactly what Jesus says. And wouldn't you? If you'd been in that situation, someone you don't know says, get up, take up your mat and walk. And you feel this strength kind of surge through your body and you get up and you take up your mat. You're not going to not do what this man says. He just healed you. So he does that. It was a grand interruption. This man's life was probably the same every day for 38 years. The same thing every day. And all of a sudden there's this huge interruption. And what happens is he realizes there's a responsibility in freedom in verses 10 to 15. Right off the bat, the Jews say to this man in verse 10 who had been healed, it's the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. The first thing that happens to him is he's in trouble. Jesus heals him. He gets in trouble. So what does he say? Oh, it's Jesus' fault? He didn't even know who he was. He said, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. I'm just doing what I was told. I wasn't doing anything special. I'm just doing what the man said. I just think this is so comical. This man who's had the same thing his entire life, all of a sudden is cured. And the first thing, he gets in trouble with the religious authorities, which is what you want to avoid. So he's healed and he comes into the world of responsibility. You see, there were 39 classes of work that was forbidden. So a man carrying his sleeping bag on the Sabbath was in real trouble. You see, Jesus in all his conflicts over the Sabbath is attempting to recall people to the real meaning of Sabbath. It wasn't about keeping rules. It wasn't about not doing certain things. It was about resting before God. It wasn't about whether I washed my car on the Sabbath or not. It was about, am I spending time with God? Am I resting? Sabbath simply means to rest, to cease. And so am I doing that? And so the man has a new set of crisis. He put the whole blame on the shoulder of the one who had made him well. He didn't even know his name. And this raises some interesting perspectives that I'm going to talk about in a minute. Because Jesus had disappeared into the crowd. Jesus didn't want to make, at this time, a big fuss about who he was at that point in time. And now the man was subject to rules he had never had to obey before. With his new freedom to walk came a whole new set of responsibilities and obligations. He'd never had to live this way before. Or at least it had been 38 years since he had. Let me make some observations of this passage. The first question I want to ask is, what does this show us about Jesus? Well, it shows us that he has authority and power to act on the behalf of one person. He can act on the behalf of one person. It demonstrates for us that he is interested in individuals, even you and me. He's interested in individuals. It's a personal ministry. You see, when he went and sought the disciples, it was in one sense individually. When he interacted with the woman at the well, it was an individual. He breaks down barriers that are between people and God. He has the authority to act on an individual's behalf. Second of all, Jesus displays sheer grace. This was a wonderful surprise for this man. His life was changed for the rest of his earthly life. You see, Jesus' love for us is always prior to our faith. Our faith is a response to God's love and grace. This lame man had no faith. He didn't ask Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, make me well. Can you heal me like you've healed so many other people?" Yet Jesus healed him completely. Even the man's attitude seemed somewhat ungrateful, but he experienced God's grace. "I don't know who healed me. I don't even know his name," he said. Certainly God desires us to put our faith in him, that is, have a relationship with him. But that faith is for our benefit, that we come to him to confirm our relationship, our trust in him. Notice verses 14 and 15. Jesus finds him. And once he finds him, he deals with his particular situation. He says, "See, you're well again," meaning that at one time he'd been well. Something happened that made him an invalid. We're not told what it was. Jesus says, "Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." He says, "Live a righteous life. Live a holy life." And then the man went away, and he went and he told the Jews, "It was Jesus who made me well." The man's name was Jesus. So Jesus deals with people individually, and his desire and love compels him to bring wonderful surprises to us. Sheer grace in this man's experience. Well, another question is, what does this show us about being a Christian? I think one of the first things it shows us is that abundant living can be tough. It's not easy being a believer in a world that's fallen, that's populated with a lot of people who don't believe in Jesus. It's not easy. Things got harder for this man once he got healed. He wasn't used to doing anything, whether it was keeping a Sabbath law or preparing food or get a job. He wasn't used to any of that. Abundant living can be tough. He had to face all these new obligations. He had to face accountability now. Life by the pool, in one sense, was easy. People would pity him. The fact that he was there for 38 years showed that someone pitied him, or he would have starved to death within 3 weeks. To stay depressed, angry, or bitter in life is to play it safe. You can hide behind those attitudes, but to be well, you become free to be responsible. Paul says it very well in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Paul writes, "To you, my brothers and sisters, you were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." Our freedom as believers has a purpose. This is one of the purposes, to serve one another in love, to help each other out, to be there for one another. And that isn't always easy. That can be a great challenge for us as we live our lives, because it takes our time, can take our focus. We need to give people our time and energies. It can take money to help one another. Another thing it tells us about being a Christian is that Jesus doesn't fit into a box. You can't say, "Oh, Jesus will always do this," or "Jesus will always do that." He never waited for the man's answer. He acted on the situation. The man could have been disappointed in the way Christ healed him. For 38 years, he'd fantasized about being lifted up and being put in the pool first and being healed, kind of a grand experience. Well, it didn't happen that way. He might have said, this isn't how I'm supposed to be healed. It's supposed to be a lot grander. I'm the first one in the pool. People carry me up before anyone else, and I get placed in the pool. Not just be well, get up and take up your mat. It wasn't that. How can it be that simple? Shouldn't there be more dramatic action involved? But no, Jesus doesn't fit into a box. He shatters our religious expectations. He does things that we don't expect him to do. Again, the Apostle Paul describes what he has done in Ephesians 2, verses 14 to 18. Paul writes, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility," speaking about the Gentiles and the Jews. "By abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace," meaning everyone comes together in Jesus, "and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." As one person put it years ago, the ground is level at the cross. No one stands above anybody else. It's all level at the cross. Jesus shatters expectations. Jesus doesn't always do what we think he's going to do. You read the Gospels and compare his interactions, his encounters, if you will, with people. It's never the same. In this case, he disappears in the crowd. I would have thought he might have stayed there and said, "It is I who healed you, Jesus of Nazareth," and then launch into one of his Sermon on the Mount-like messages. But he doesn't do that. He just disappears into the crowd. Then later, he finds the man. Jesus hunts him down, so to speak, and explains to him what the man needs to do, and introduces himself. "I'm Jesus. I'm the one who healed you. Now, go your way and sin no more, or something worse will befall you." Jesus is saying, "Live healthy. Believe in me. I am the one." And so you have this encounter where this man's whole life is turned upside down, and not only his life, his eternity as well. Can you imagine that this man was definitely part of the crowd that would start to follow Jesus around? And people would look at him and say, aren't you the guy that's been by the pool for, I don't know how many years, you've always been there. You're always in that same spot. He goes, "Yeah, Jesus healed me." See, word spread. I mean, the last line in verse 15 says, "The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus." Word would spread from that. That it was Jesus who healed this man who'd been there for 38 years. He himself became a testimony, a signpost, if you will, pointing to Jesus. So this wonderful surprise touched we don't know how many lives in this moment in time. For us, we need to look at it and realize Jesus wants to do something in our lives. Jesus, in one sense, is telling you and I both every day, get up, take up your mat, and walk. Live in a way that glorifies me, because in doing that, you will experience a relationship with me that goes far beyond anything you could ever know. So Jesus makes that offer to all of us. Do you want to get well? What would our response be? What would we say? Would we simply say, "Yes, Lord, make me well"? Or would we say, "Well, you don't understand. My car got repossessed, and the rent's due, and I don't have any food money." What would we say? "I don't have time. You see, I've got all these responsibilities. I have to go do this, and I have to go do that, and I have to go do that. I'm a very important person. These people rely on me." How would we respond when Jesus says to us, "Do you want to get well?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the story of this encounter, of this man who experienced sheer grace and as a result, a wonderful surprise. Lord, I pray that each of us would be open to the work of you in our lives. That we may think things are going along just like they have for years and years, and yet you want to do something different. May we listen to your voice by your Spirit. May we hear you. May we listen to the question you might ask us and respond accordingly. Lord, we do want to be well. May we be responsive to your offer. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.